Well, it's still Easter Day. Happy Easter. Last day of the octave, meaning every day we celebrate as if it were Easter Day. So we get to do all sorts of extra things. Spend like 15 to 20 extra minutes in Mass. Yeah! Singing things, doing the baptismal reminder, because, well, Easter Day is when we really remember, firstly, that victory that Christ won for us on the cross, reuniting us with God, wiping away our sin, adopting us as sons and daughters, all through the sacrament of baptism. So we sprinkled you with extra holy water. Hopefully folks on the end got sprinkled too. You know, sometimes I'm worried that it's going to like fly out of my hand. I think it's pretty heavy. Probably need to get like one of those chains for like, you know, if you're playing the Wii, you have like a little safety strap. Probably should do that. But because it's Easter, we're going all out as usual. We're remembering, well, at the very beginning, baptism is the focus. And what do you think is the focus today based on the gospel reading confession? Where Jesus comes that first day of his resurrection, the first thing he wants to do, you know, kind of emphasizing how important it is. He breathes on them. Well, actually, first he says, "Peace be with you. Don't worry, guys. It's okay. I know you ran away from me. You abandoned me. I got killed, but peace be with you. It's all good." He kind of forgives them and assures them, "Don't worry, I'm not going to like come down hard on you guys." He gives them the Holy Spirit instead. So beautiful, that mercy, like, "Don't worry. You don't have the strength, I'll give you the strength." And then he calls them to this new mission, this ministry of his divine mercy. As Jesus, one man in one place here on earth, didn't want everyone to have to, I don't know, awkwardly get in line to, you know, talk to him, to hear his voice say, "I forgive you." He wanted certain men to carry on that ministry of divine mercy, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained." And that is what we believe is sort of the beginning of the sacrament of confession, where priests now stand in the place of Christ to be his face, to be his voice, to communicate to any and all repentant sinners that same forgiveness won for us on the cross. So beautiful. And it's so sad that so many Christians have lost this. Again, unbroken tradition, 1500 years, that this verse means, you know, confession. It's now gone for the majority of Christian, other Christian groups. They believe that, you know, Jesus here was not doing any kind of a sacramental, you know, teaching. He was maybe one common non-Catholic interpretation is he's telling them to announce forgiveness. Tell them, like, if you believe in Jesus, your sins are forgiven. If you don't, your sins are retained. Others think that maybe Jesus is just reaffirming his teaching earlier about forgiving one another. Other groups will try and reinterpret this passage, but it just doesn't make sense. Like, I was talking to Chi Alpha people and in the free speech zone up there the other day. The Chi Alpha is a non-denominational Christian group, and I was working on the homily. I was like, "Man, what do I have to lose? What do you guys think about John chapter 20, verse 23? Your sins are, whose sins you forgive are forgiven, whose sins you retain are retained." And they told me what I had already learned from, you know, YouTube, that Protestants reinterpret this. It's not, you know, Jesus giving the apostles some sort of mission to forgive sins. But I told them, like, it's very clear. Like, Jesus wants them to forgive sins. And what is the result? Those sins will be forgiven. And then how on earth, even this guy I was talking to admitted, "I don't really know what's going on with the retaining thing. Like, that just doesn't seem to fit." Well, I left him with some encouragement to look into the early Christian fathers of the church, the early Christians and their writings. Because even if you want to argue that Jesus was not doing something new here in John chapter 20, the early Christians were very clear on this point. Here is my favorite one of all that I found from St. John Chrysostom. He was writing in the 4th century. He said this about this very verse we just heard today in 2022. He wrote this back in the 4th century. "Priests can bind with a bond which pertains to the soul itself and transcends the very heavens. Did God not give them all the powers of heaven? Whose sins you shall forgive," he says, "they are forgiven them. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. What greater power is there than this? The Father has given all judgment to the Son, and now I see the Son placing all this power in the hands of men. Like, so clear. So again, either all Christians were wrong for 1500 years, or Jesus really was calling the disciples, those ordained as priests, to carry on his mission of mercy. That baptism isn't a one-time, once saved, always saved kind of thing, that we're called to continual repentance and continual renewal of that baptismal purity in the confessional. Now, we actually agree a lot more than I think non-Catholics understand, or they're not aware, because common objections will be, only God has the power to forgive sins. Priests can't forgive sins. What should you say if someone gives you that response? Amen, brother. We believe the same thing. I don't have the power to forgive sins. Jesus wasn't giving the apostles the power to forgive sins. He was giving them the mission, authority, to be ministers of his mercy. You know, forgiveness only comes through Christ. He's the only mediator in the sense that all grace comes through him. But he chooses to share it with the apostles. We can't just make this stuff up ourselves. Clearly, Jesus wanted his mercy to come through a real person that we would have to go to, be held accountable. Jordan Peterson talks about this. He's going to be Catholic soon, don't worry. He talks about how having to go to someone and tell them your sins hold you accountable. You can't just stay in the quiet of your home and be like, I'm sorry, Lord. No, you have to go and tell someone clearly, and that someone will retain those sins if you're not serious. And this is what our Lord means, whose sins you retain are retained. I don't have the power to hold your sin back or something, but I have the authority to tell you, I can tell you're not really sorry, which means those sins are not forgiven. It's very rare, but it'll happen where someone will come to confession and they'll either say, well, I don't believe that's a sin, Father, or I'm not really sorry about this. I don't give the person absolution. I say, all right, this is where we are. For now, let's say a prayer. Let's talk more. I cannot forgive you if you're not sorry for those sins. That's so important. Jordan Peterson explains, like, we need to be held accountable, telling someone else so they can clarify, they can help us see, like, this is the reality of our sin. And then, Peterson also talks about how hearing those words from the priest, coming from Jesus himself, gives us the assurance that we need, not to fall too much into despair, having confronted the reality, the gravity of our sin. Very cool. Even non-Catholics, some of them are recognizing how beautiful this is, and I'm hoping, like I said, Jordan Peterson will be Catholic soon. Another big response you'll hear from Protestants is, I don't have to go to a priest. I can just confess my sins to God himself. And how should we respond to that? Amen. We believe the same thing in the Catholic Church. We just have to nuance it a little bit. God's ordinary means of forgiving sins is going to a priest who doesn't have the power himself but the authority to forgive sins. But if there's no priest around, if you're on a desert island and there's no priest within 1,000 miles, or if you're here in Morgantown and it's midnight and confessions don't start till 4:15 the next day and you commit a mortal sin, are you going to go to hell if you don't go to a priest right away and somehow die before confessing that sin? No. We believe in the Catholic Church that if out of love, after committing a mortal sin, which separates us from God, if out of love we say, Lord, I'm sorry, I don't want to be away from you, take me back, forgive me, that sin is forgiven at that moment when you have perfect contrition out of love, desiring to be with God again. As long as your intention is to go to confession as soon as reasonably possible. So we as Catholics too agree with Protestants. These two things, power to forgive only comes from Jesus, and you do achieve forgiveness when you confess your sins directly to God out of love. But the ordinary means that he wished for us to be forgiven, for our baptismal purity to be renewed, to go to a priest who stands in his place. Beautiful, very beautiful. And something that hopefully you guys are taking advantage of often. I can tell you are, because we are hearing like 2 or 3 times as many confessions now than we were at the beginning of my time here. It's awesome. We're going to have to extend confession hours. However, I have a few recommendations, a few tips, things not to do in confession that I just want to throw out for the sake of those who are already making frequent use of the sacrament of confession, because sometimes you do things that just don't help anyone. and usually end up making confessions take a lot longer than they need to. One of which is, remember, the examination of conscience should be done before you come to confession. It happens. Sometimes someone will come in like, all right, Father, I found this pamphlet out there. First commandment, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart. Have I ever, let me think. I don't think, Father, I don't think I've really had any problems with that. No. Do that before you come to confession. Do it well. Even if you've been going to confession for a long time, you think, Father, I don't need that examination of conscience. Trust me, new things come up. As months go by, we grow in holiness. The Holy Spirit convicts us of new things. Make a good examination before you come in. That way you come in and, here's my sins, Father. Second thing, don't tell me the story. The story is behind the sins. Let's save that for coffee, for drinks at the bar at some point. Sometimes someone will come in and they'll say, and trust me, I'm not calling anyone out in particular here. This is so common. I'm confident in just saying this. Father, it was one sunny day. It was a Tuesday, as I remember. I think I was, drinking some tea at the point, and I was watching. No. I don't need to know all those details. They're totally irrelevant for the sin. Very rare do you need circumstances. And if you need to tell me the circumstances, trust me, you'll know. Like, Father, this really makes a difference in the sin. Other than that, I did this, I did that. What it is, how many times. It might seem really mechanical, but it's not. We're just being honest with the Lord. We've thought about it carefully. We don't need a whole bunch of, time to bring that renewal of forgiveness. And if you do need time, then let us know outside of the regular confession time. We'll set some time aside in the office. Or if you're like, no, I just need to talk this through. We'll get a drink sometime. Confession time, it's only like 45 minutes. It's usually just to get those sins out. No filler. Also, don't justify your actions. This is another fun one. I did this, Father, but really, I didn't want to, and like, I normally am really a good person, and I'm really not that bad. It's like, don't worry, I'm not judging you. Just tell me what the sin is, and trust me, it makes it look worse if you try and justify your actions. Because then I know not only do you struggle with that sin, but you also struggle with pride. And then I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say, like, look, this is pride. You need to confess that one, too. Just the sins come in humbly. Father is not going to judge you. But even if, Father Brian and I aren't going to, but if you go somewhere else and it's a grumpy priest and he, like, it's kind of scowling at you, don't worry, it doesn't keep the confession from being valid. He shouldn't be judging you. Just tell him what's going on. Don't justify it. Lastly, come early. It happens more frequently now than early. I don't know what's going on. Something has changed. We have more confessions, but we have more people who think, confessions go from 4:15 until 5. I'll come at 4:55 so I don't have to wait in line. Guess how many people think that? A lot. So we have the early birds who are like really good. They're like, I'm going to go there early, even if I have to wait. Father won't be left alone in the confessional for 20 minutes. In the middle, from like 4:15 to 4:25, I'm hearing confessions, then dead silence for 20 minutes, and then bam, a whole line of people show up. It's like, and then Mass is late. And you wonder, like, oh, Zabo never starts Mass on time. Wonder why. Come early. Don't come thinking, like, oh, I'm going to have to wait in line. Think, same thoughts you have to have if you're in traffic here in Morgantown. You don't get out on the road in high traffic time thinking, oh, I'm going to have to wait in traffic. You think, I'm going to listen to my audiobook. I'm getting in my car to make a good phone call with a friend. It keeps you from getting angry about the traffic. You come to confession early, even if there's a line, thinking, I'm going to come spend 45 minutes with Jesus. It totally changes. You're still waiting, but you're not angry the whole time you're waiting. And then confessing even more sins. All these sins, Father, and then I was really angry that one person took 10 minutes in the confessional. Come early, that way we can get as many people our Lord. Here in Divine Mercy Sunday, we set this image up because this is who you see in confession. Again, even if the priest is grumpy, even if he's yawning and tired, even if he's asleep when you get in there and you have to wake him up, you see our Lord with his heart bursting forth with love and mercy. And if you just come close to him, the sacrament of confession is when we draw close to our Lord again, that love washes us clean. Anyone who comes with a contrite heart seeking forgiveness Don't miss out on that. If still this is not a big part of your devotional life, you think like, well, the church only requires me to go once a year, Father. Well, come more often. Remember, once a month, if you're not struggling with habitual serious sin. But if you're falling into, you know, more serious sins, like big ones are masturbation and pornography, serious deep hatred, unforgiveness, drunkenness, partying, you know, sex outside of marriage. If those things, you're dealing with those pretty frequently, then come weekly. Don't come monthly and, you know, either stay away from communion or even worse, receive communion with that serious sin. Come weekly, if that's you. Monthly or weekly, that should usually be the norm. Because it shouldn't be like going to the dentist. The devil wants it to feel like that way. It should be like going to see our Lord, drawing close to his sacred heart, being cleansed so that when we come out for communion, we're ready to receive all that grace. We can actually grow to be the beloved children that God made us at our baptism and wants us to be one day when we make it, Lord willing, to heaven.